Welcome to this episode of the We Travel There podcast. We're in Edessa, Portugal, with my good friend Rachel Covert of racheltalksmoney.com. Rachel moved here after visiting small towns along the Portugal coast. She loves the town's unique local flavor and how its surfing draws visitors from around the world. In this episode, Rachel and I talk about learning how to surf at this World Surf Reserve, attending the Sardine Festival, and touring the Palace of Mafra. Hear about these three amazing experiences and so much more. If you know someone that wants to visit Portugal, I'd love it if you share this episode with them. The show notes and our one-page guide of Rachel's tips are available at wetravelthere.com/Erdeseta. Now let's get started. The We Travel There podcast helps you travel like a local by interviewing guests from around the world to uncover the hidden gems of their city by finding out the best things to do, eat, drink, and see from a local's point of view. Using airline miles and hotel points makes travel affordable, but keeping track of all those loyalty programs can be a challenge. That's why I use AwardWall to track my miles and points balances, reservations, and special goodies like free hotel night certificates and airline companion passes. Having everything in one easy-to-use dashboard helps ensure that I don't lose any rewards and makes logging into my accounts super easy. Go to wetravelthere.com/AwardWallet to start your free account. Hey, Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lee, thanks so much for having me today.
Absolutely. So today we're talking about a city that, honestly, I've never heard about, but it's in Portugal, which is a country that I haven't had a chance to visit yet, but it's high on my bucket list. And so I'm super glad to have you on the show and talk all about Edessa.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here and sharing a little bit about this small slice of the world that I occupy.
So what's your connection to the city?
So we have lived here for about a year. My partner is British, and we were trying to figure out what to do about whether he should immigrate to the States or whether I should immigrate to the UK. And we just realized that neither of us particularly wanted to live in either place. And we realized that Portugal had a lot of options for visas that would allow us to legally live in the same country and live in a place that we actually were really excited about living in. And so we came to Portugal, we did a little recon, and visited a bunch of different little small towns along the coast and landed on Ericeira as our final destination.
Oh, that's fantastic. I've actually read a lot about something called like a golden passport. Is that correct?
Yeah. So there's a couple. So there's a golden visa where you buy property and that gives you the right to live here. Although Portugal has eliminated their coastal regions, so you can no longer get a golden visa to live in the coastal regions, but there's two other visas. One is a digital nomad visa. So it gives you all the same rights as the golden visa. You just have to prove that you have a certain amount of monthly income, which is the visa that we are here on. And then the other visa is called a retiree visa. It's for folks who are no longer working and have enough assets that they can support themselves. So we actually also qualified for that one, but in the end, they kind of pushed us to take the digital nomad visa. So here we are. Either way, it worked out great, and we get to live here legally.
So for people that aren't familiar with Ericeira, where is it located within the country?
We are about 40 or 45 minutes by car northwest of Lisbon, right on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean.
And so if people want to come visit the city, then, or I guess it's more like a little town or village, if people want to come visit, then I guess they would fly into Lisbon. Is that correct?
Yep, definitely. Like, Portugal is a relatively small country, so you could fly into Porto and drive down. It's about a 3-hour drive from Porto, but Lisbon is the closest major airport, and it's the one we typically fly in and out of.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And if people are flying in, because it is part of the EU, then if you have an American passport, it's easy to get in and out. I guess probably in 2025, I think it is, they're supposed to start adding a little visa fee on arrivals. But for the most part, all you need is your American passport. You don't need any shots or anything else, right?
Yep, that's correct. Now, if you do a lot of travel in and around Europe, you need to be aware of your number of days you have available in what's called the Schengen zone. So if you've been spending a lot of time in Europe, make sure you look that up. But if you haven't been spending 3 months out of the last 6 in Europe already, then you should have no problem waltzing right in through passport control if you are a US or British passport holder.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, one of the things when people think about when they're traveling, I know in Spain and Portugal, English probably isn't the first language. It's more like Spanish or Portuguese. Obviously, coming from the US and the UK, did you have any problems as far as assimilating into like local life there, or how much Spanish or Portuguese did you need to know?
So the local language, yeah, you're spot on. The local language is Portuguese. They can understand Spanish, but the Portuguese aren't super interested in speaking Spanish with you. Here in Ericeira, it's a super international little village because it is a World Surf Preserve. So lots of folks will speak English here. There's a lot of tourism here. But that being said, not everyone does speak English. So we have been working really hard to learn Portuguese. And I think also as an immigrant, I feel a little bit like it's my duty to learn the local language so that I can understand their culture. It's kind of like on me to learn that. It's not on them to learn my language. So if you are coming to Ericeira or if you're coming to Portugal, I definitely recommend making sure you download Portuguese into your Google Translate, or there's an even better app called DeepL that you can translate. It's actually a slightly better version of Portuguese because Brazilian Portuguese, which is what Google uses, is different than European Portuguese. So you definitely do want to have a language conversion app if you're planning on spending a lot of time outside of Lisbon on your trip to Portugal.
Oh, for sure. Or, you know, get Babbel or one of those apps and start practicing, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, it's a pretty difficult language only because not a lot of people learn European Portuguese the way lots of people learn English. So the locals can't really understand me because I have such a thick accent. So it's something that's still a work in progress for us. And I definitely recommend if you want to learn a little bit of the local language, you want to learn how to order a coffee or a beer, you should totally do it. It'll definitely add to your experience when you're here.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that obviously they're going to recognize that Portuguese is not your first language, but just that effort of learning a few words or learning a couple phrases goes a long way just to show that you care enough to learn versus saying, no, I'm American. You have to learn learn English the way I'm speaking it. Obviously I like to drink. So if I was going to order a beer, how would I say that?
Yeah, I love that question. So in Portugal, one of the interesting things, mostly people drink a light local lager that's on tap here, and you actually order it by the size of beer that you want. So you could order a specialty. Yeah, so a grande is called a caneca. The word for beer is cerveja. So you would order like, you could just say cerveja and they'll say what size you want. You could say caneca, but most of the locals actually drink small beers. They're called imperial. So you could just say like imperial, por favor, would be like a beer, and they'll just bring you a small tap beer. And the reason that people here tend to drink these small beers is because it's hot during the day. So you would want to have two or three of these little beers that cost 1 or 2 euros instead of a big beer, unless you are super thirsty and you're going to drink it fast, because it will get warm and flat really quick. So yeah. I typically suggest order an imperial. Also, that's like more of the local custom is to have the imperials.
And I know some places around the world, it's actually cheaper to order like wine or beer than it is to order water.
Yeah, actually, it may be that an imperial is cheaper than a bottle of sparkling water, because the bottles of sparkling water are tiny and very expensive here for some unknown reason. Oh,
that's wild. Okay, so if people are planning a trip to Ericeira, what's the weather like throughout the year? And are there any festivals or like annual events that maybe somebody wants to plan the trip around?
Yeah, so the weather is best here, really April through October. I would basically say that roughly Portugal has a rainy season and a dry season. So between October, November, and March, April, it can be quite rainy here in Ericeira. And when it's rainy, it's going to be colder as well. That being said, we've had some beautiful, glorious, sunny weeks in the middle of the winter. It is Portugal. I kind of call it like the California of Europe. Obviously, California is huge and has a ton of different climate zones, but it doesn't get below freezing here hardly ever. And in the summer, during the day, it's quite warm. Like it can be in the 80s and 90s, but at night, it typically really cools down. And most of the buildings here are not necessarily super insulated, so it can be kind of chilly indoors, actually, even in the summertime. So if you're a person who wants a little bit of that summertime, but you don't like being hot at night, Portugal, and especially here in Ericeira, right along the coast, it's really cool and pleasant in the evenings, and you almost need a jacket at night in the summer.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I love those like ocean breezes that come through and just cool you off. And like you said, I think it's one of those things that, yeah, you got your shorts and flip-flop weather during the day, and then you just have like a light jacket and you're going to be good for the most part.
Totally. That's like definitely the weather here. And it's a pretty casual place. So for sure, shorts and flip-flops would be nice. And if you wanted to have a little bit of a date night and put on like long pants or wear a nicer dress than a jacket, you would be comfortable doing that at night here because you're not going to be sweating through.
Perfect. And then as far as like the events, like what type of events are there throughout the year?
So particularly in the summer, Portugal loves a festival and they call them festas. And the festivals are typically, not always, but typically either celebrating a saint or a religious figure, or it's a food festival. So they might have a festival around, say, octopus or sea urchin or sardines. And in the summertime in particular, there's a festival, not every single weekend, but I would say at least half of the weekends in the summer, there will be a festival. And I wish I could say to you, it's always this exact week. Like, I looked it up because I wanted to be able to tell you. And typically the Sardine Festival, for example, would be the third weekend in July, but that doesn't actually mean that it is going to be the third weekend in July. So if you're planning a trip for something specific, like a festa, I would say you're better served to just come here and ask where there will be a festa, so you can hop in your rental car and drive over and eat some delicious fresh grilled fish, have a caneca or an imperial, hear a live band, buy some arts and crafts from the local kind of craftsmen in the stalls, and kind of enjoy the local flavor.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, like you said, like you looked up like some of the festivals. Is there like a visitors bureau or something like that that would maybe have a listing of those events, or is it maybe just something that locals know where to look?
So it is in Portuguese. So this is part of the challenge, is a lot of the websites and the things that would publish this kind of information are not easily Googleable because they are not in English, but it is done by the municipality. So for example, Ericeira is in the municipality of Mafra. So Mafra has a website where it lists all of the festivals and typically just the month in which that festival is going to happen for all of the different villages within the like region of Mafra. And I'd be happy to send you a link so you can put it in the show notes so folks can take a look, and you can just use Google Translate to see what the different festivals are about. If you really, really want to be sure you're here for a festival, the biggest festival is at the end of August. It's typically either the third or the last weekend in August. And it's sort of the local town festival. And at the end of it, there's fireworks and there's way more vendors. August is definitely the heaviest tourist month here. So if you want to come, you'll find that there's tons of actual local Portuguese tourists here as well. So a lot of the tourism in town is local Portuguese tourism as well, which makes it a little bit different, I think, than visiting some of the bigger kind of American well-known tourist destinations here in Portugal.
Oh, sure, sure. And I think for people wanting that localized experience, you don't want to travel all the way across the Atlantic just to be able to hang out with a bunch of people that you could see in your own town. Being able to hang out with and meet people that are from the locals, I think it's part of the whole experience and part of what you really want anyways.
I totally agree with you. And if you come and you go to a local festival, you'll be able to try things like the local wine. A lot of people here still to this day brew their own wine that they call green wine. It's Vinho Verde, which you can also get in restaurants, by the way, if you like a really light, crispy, it's got a little bit of like spumante, like a little bit of carbonation to it. Definitely don't snooze on Vinho Verde while you're here. But they also have a variety of different like special liqueurs that you will find at the different festas. The most famous one is called Ginja, and it's a cherry liqueur, and it's super delicious and sweet. And they serve it in a little chocolate cup. So you drink the liqueur and then you eat the chocolate, and it's awesome.
Oh, that sounds like a great experience. Now, let's take a step back for a second. Like we said earlier, we were going to fly into Lisbon. And then getting from Lisbon to Ericeira, although it's only about 45 miles, 45 minutes away, do we rent a car? Is there public transportation? Like, how do we get from the airport to the city?
You can either take a bus. The buses leave from, it's called Campo Grande, which is a big bus terminal in Lisbon, actually right by one of the football stadiums here, or the soccer stadiums. And the bus ride, there's several express buses a day. And again, it takes roughly 45 minutes to an hour, or a bunch of local buses that take about an hour and a half. But if you are comfortable driving in a foreign country, I would say driving is really the move for coming to Ericeira, because we're close to a lot of other things that you would want a car to get to. And Portugal is pretty driver friendly overall. One thing to note, though, is that you will have to specifically request an automatic transmission if you can't drive a stick shift. But we do drive on the right here in Portugal, and none of the laws are so different that it would make it really uncomfortable to drive here. A lot of rotaries, roundabouts here, but I definitely think personally, if I were coming, I would want a rental car.
Sure, sure. And then for people that aren't either comfortable with driving or just don't want to have the hassle of it and everything like that, is there like a train or like Uber or something like that that people can use?
There's no train, but Uber is pretty good here in Portugal. And there's another app called Bolt that you can download that's similar to Uber as well. And there are a decent number of Ubers, especially if you're here in the summertime. You can grab an Uber, and an Uber from the airport to Ericeira, if you wanted to come here directly, is roughly 40 euros. It's not going to break the bank. So, and then once you're here, you can also grab Ubers from one place to the next. And if you're going to want to be drinking some Imperials or some Vinho Verde, it's good to have Uber and know that your phone will work here so that you can grab an Uber if you need one.
Nice. Like you said, there aren't trains that actually go to Ericeira, but you know, Europe and Portugal and most of the other countries around, they have a pretty extensive train system. It's just, there's not really a stop there in that town, right?
Exactly. And if you wanted to come to Portugal and take trains to various other places, like for example, if you wanted to fly into Lisbon and take a train up to Porto, which is the big city in the north where port wine is made, you can absolutely do that. And they're very, very inexpensive. I want to say it's roughly 30 euros to take a train from Lisbon to Porto. You can also take a train south and go down and visit the south coast, which is called the Algarve. And you could take a train from Lisbon down to there. There just doesn't happen to be a train that goes as far to the coast as we are. We're right on the coast.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I was doing a little research. We have a partnership with Waze. They're like a technology that allows you to be able to search for like miles and points, being able to use your points for hotel stays and everything like that. But I actually saw that there weren't any major brands like Hilton and Hyatt and Marriott and stuff like that actually in Ericeira. The closest ones are all in Lisbon. So when we're staying in Ericeira, where would we stay? Is there like bed and breakfast or like small boutique hotels, or what do we have available there?
Yeah, one of the things that's cool about Ericeira, in my opinion, is actually that we don't have a lot of chains. We have a Burger King. We've got some chain grocery stores. But other than that, everything here is pretty much a small family-owned operation. So depending on your budget, there's lots of great options. First of all, I just want to say all of Ericeira is super safe. So there's not a neighborhood that you would need to avoid for safety reasons. So some of the small hotels that are great is there's a little hotel called Reserva, which they will pronounce Reserva. So it's really lovely. It's right in the center of town, but not near any really loud bars or anything like that. There's a local kind of, I want to call it like a chain of properties called Villa Ana Margarita, which owns a bunch of different properties all over town. And they're really beautiful and really quirky. They really decorate the outside of them. They tend to have a lot of plants and flowers. And there's a big Villa Ana Margarita like property on the north side of town that has beautiful swimming pools, and it's situated on a cliff overlooking the open ocean. It's really beautiful. Now, if you're looking for something a little bit more luxe, we do have some five-star hotels that are kind of, they call themselves like in Ericeira. One example is Immerso, but it's pretty far outside of town. So you're going to have to drive into town to come to dinner and do all of those things. But it is supposed to be an absolutely stunning property.
Yeah, it's good to have a variety of options. And as much as I love using my hotel points to be able to stay for free, sometimes you just want something local like that. And especially, I think in some of these smaller villages like this, a lot of things, even if it's you're staying at something that's a little bit more luxury, the prices are still pretty affordable.
You're going to find the prices in Ericeira, even in the height of summer, they will feel relatively affordable to you compared to like trying to stay in a beach destination in the United States for a few nights. You'll be able to stay somewhere really, really nice for under 200 euros and probably somewhere pretty decent for under 100 euros. Or you can get an Airbnb right in town if you want to have a little kitchen for yourself for between 1 and 200 euros a night, depending on the size that you're looking for. So in terms of the prices, Portugal is one of the more affordable places to visit in Europe. And you'll definitely see that reflected in the accommodation.
Sure. So let's talk about while we're there, what are some of the best things to do in the city? And I understand it's obviously a smaller village, so you're not going to probably stay there for a month unless like you're really into surfing and everything. But I think there are, you know, quite a few things that any type of traveler would really enjoy while they're visiting.
Yeah, for sure. So like you touched on, it is a World Surf Preserve. So if you're interested in trying surfing, if you've never done it, there's tons of different spots in town where you can take a lesson and they'll be really fun. The instructors here are great, and you do have to have a license to be an instructor here. So the quality of the lessons overall is really high. There's also surf camps. So if you wanted to come and take lessons a couple times a day and stay overnight and do it, that can be really fun too, if that's something you've always been kind of curious about. There's also, if you've never heard of this, there's something called surf skate, and it's a special type of skateboard that's designed to mimic surfing. And I've really, really enjoyed taking surf skate lessons here in Ericeira. We have done it multiple times a week for months. We really love it. And it's definitely something special that you wouldn't find in an average kind of like vacation town. And then, of course, in addition to that, we have tons of great beaches. There's beaches all over town, north to south. Most beaches here you will find have a cafe. You may want to bring cash with you, but you'll have a cafe. You can get a coffee. Here in Portugal, the coffees are tiny little shots of espresso. So you get a coffee or get an Imperial, get a little snack. It's just a really big part of the culture to go to the beach and hang out on the beach here. It can be a little bit on the windy side in the summertime. So just a heads up about that. Now, you kind of mentioned Ericeira is probably not a place where you have a month's worth of activities, and that's really true. However, it is a great location to get to Sintra, which is a huge tourist attraction here in Portugal. There's also another cute village that's driving distance that's a cool medieval walled village called Obidos that you can get to from here. So there's definitely lots to do, a lot of like walking and hiking opportunities, especially if you're interested in coastal cliff walks. We have lots of beautiful coastline that has nothing constructed on it. It's just beautiful walking along the open Atlantic kind of trails. And it's pretty flat and easy to manage if you are not interested in a big tiresome hike.
Sure, sure. I mean, that sounds really amazing. Like you said, you know, we get caught up in like the hustle and the bustle of everything like that. And we try to cram 500 things to do into a single day. And sometimes we just need to like just decompress and sit on the beach and just watch the people surf and enjoy ourselves, you know?
Totally. And actually here in Ericeira, it's a huge part of the life. Like a huge part of the lifestyle is just to walk to a cafe and sit at a table and drink a tiny coffee or two and maybe eat a little pastel de nata pastry, which is the famous custard pastry here in Portugal, and just like hang out and people watch. You won't see people sitting and staring at their phones. You'll really see people just sitting, looking up, people watching, enjoying the sun at all the cafes along the coast, at the cafes in town. It's definitely a great place to just come with a book and just have some like quiet time, like living your life away from your phone.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. Now, you mentioned, you know, getting a coffee or a pastry and stuff like that. I know that the euro is really prevalent in Europe there as far as, you know, using that for cash. So based on that, we'd have to, you know, exchange some of our US dollars into local currency for these places that don't accept credit cards.
That is correct. You will need cash a lot in Portugal. A couple of important things to note is that you can take cash with your home ATM card out of the ATMs here. Your home bank may charge you a fee, and you always want to decline the conversion on the ATM machine. So it'll always say, okay, well, we can give you this conversion rate, or you can just take the rate that your bank offers, but we can't promise that that rate is going to be as good as the rate we offer. The rate they offer is terrible. Never take it. So if you're going to pull cash out of an ATM, make sure you decline the conversion. So that's thing number one. And thing number two is you definitely want to have cash with you, especially if you're trying to get food from a lot of the small cafes just simply don't have credit card machines. And so you need to have cash. And there may not be an ATM close by. So make sure you stock up before you head out to a beach or something along those lines.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, one of the other things that I saw that seemed really interesting, there's a place that's nearby called Mafra. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's our like kind of the big seat, the big town, local town.
Okay, and I guess there's a big palace there that has a really interesting story.
Yeah, there's a huge palace in Mafra, and it's kind of an interesting place because, first of all, it's really massive. Like, I cannot emphasize to you how big it is, especially compared to the average building in the surrounding area. It's just kind of in this town that's really a very normal, very typical Portuguese town. And so the story behind the palace, whether this is, you know, entirely truthful or not, is that the king at the time of building the palace wanted to show the wealth that Portugal was kind of bringing out of Brazil, because they were stealing a lot of gold from Brazil at the time. And so they built this massive palace, but they were kind of running out of money along the way. So you can see that there's like the exterior is really big and grand, but some of the interior rooms, you know, they have frescoes, but maybe they're not the best quality. And they're maybe a little bit kind of under decorated compared to how big and grand the palace is. But there's a couple of really interesting rooms. There's an incredible library in there. And it's definitely a really interesting place to visit. And it's also only €5. So if you're on a little bit of a budget, and you just want to go and see something entirely unusual, the palace in Mafra is an interesting spot to stop at, especially if you have that rental car.
No, absolutely. And I think it's one of those things, like just seeing those things where it has that dichotomy like that is really interesting as well. But you were mentioning earlier about some of the different beaches and just being able to just either hang out and people watch or actually just laying out enjoying the sun yourself. What are some of the beaches that you recommend, whether it's sunbathing or like learning how to surf? Which one would you recommend?
Yeah. So if you want to learn how to surf, there's two main spots that in town that most surf schools will take you to. My preferred surf spot is called Ribera de Ilhas, and it's on the north side of town. Everyone in town just calls it Ribera because we're all, of course, expats, so we're speaking with our English accents. But you can just go to Ribera, and there's multiple surf schools who operate out of that location, and they will take you into the water and provide you with all of the gear. And it's a reef break. So what that means is that there's a reef, like a reef rock underneath the surface of the water. And so the waves there are very consistent. And that's why it's a good spot to go to learn to surf. And when you're done surfing, of course, there's a really nice cafe there. So you can finish up what you're doing and get some coffee and some food, because surfing is quite a bit of exercise if you've never done it. So you'll be really tired afterwards and definitely want a beer or a coffee and a sandwich.
Absolutely. And then for people who are a little more adventurous, I guess that's the right word for it. There's actually another beach where it's kind of known for sunbathing, nude, right?
Yeah, there's a beach to the north of town called São Lourenço. And every time I've been there, there have been quite a few people enjoying the sun, either topless or completely in the buff. And it's got some kind of more secluded areas with some rocks. So maybe if you're looking to sunbathe but not be in the center of attention, generally speaking in Portugal, you'll see people topless sunbathing all the time. But if it's something that you wanted to do maybe a little bit more away from the crowds, São Lourenço is a bit north of town. It's not quite in the center. So you would have a little bit less exposure there. And it's also a pebble beach instead of being a sand beach. So that means that if it's a little bit windy, you're not getting sand blown all over your sensitive parts. So it can be a good choice if it's a bit windier to head over there if you wanted to do a little nude bathing. Or if you're not interested in nude bathing, but you just don't like sand, it's also a really nice beach for that. And it's surrounded by huge, beautiful cliffs. And of course, it has a nice cafe.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, sand and your privates probably is not a good combination. So we only got a couple minutes left, but I don't want to miss out on talking about some of the amazing food that's there. That's part of the whole experience of traveling and everything. So let's kind of do like a quick hit on some of your favorites that we can't miss while we're there.
Yeah, so Ericeira is a fishing village. It has always been a fishing village, and to this day, there is an entire fisherman's port here. So if you are a seafood eater, or if you are a shellfish eater, Ericeira is going to really hit the spot for you. One of my favorite things to get here is you just walk into one of the restaurants. There's a couple that I'll mention specifically, but there's just going to be a case of incredibly fresh fish. And they will split that fish in half and they will grill it over open hot coals. And it's just fish brushed with a little bit of olive oil and salt. And it is absolutely phenomenal tasting. I cannot even express to you how good it is. So if you're looking for something a little bit more affordable and kind of more in the center of town, there's a little spot called O La Crau, which is spelled O. O means the. And La Crau is L-A-C-R-O-U. Some of the best grilled fish I've ever had is in this very unassuming little restaurant. Now, on the north side of town, there's a spot called T. Matilde, which means like Aunt Matilda. And it has an incredible view overlooking the ocean. And it's a little bit more upscale and a little bit more expensive. So for grilled fish, those are my two favorite spots. There's also on the actual coastline, there's a couple of spots that are called marascarias. That means shellfish restaurants. So that will be more of like your clams, your shrimp, things like that. But I am allergic to shellfish, so I have not sampled them. But they always have big crowns in them and they must be good. There's one called Fernache that is literally over the ocean. You will watch big waves breaking over the rocks around you while you're eating there. So it's really cool. And then if you wanted something a little bit more upscale, there is a restaurant called Mar Dash Latash, and it's one of my favorites in town. It is definitely on the more expensive side, but they make really wonderful little small plates, tapas, and it's like a twist on local cuisine.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, so many like great spots. And like you said, being right there on the coast, like obviously you're going to get the freshest seafood that you probably ever had in your life. And then also mixed with just like the local flavors and the local customs of cooking and everything like that. It's an experience you're not going to be able to find probably anywhere in the United States.
Definitely not. And one of the things that's interesting about Portuguese food is that they really let the local flavor shine, and they're really, really, really high quality. So even just like the basic boiled potatoes that they serve you with the grilled fish are like phenomenal and melt in your mouth. And I'm always like, why do their boiled potatoes taste like this? Like when I make boiled potatoes, they taste like nothing. So there's definitely a really high quality and a lot of local produce. So even just a simple salad here will blow your mind. Sometimes you're like, wow, this is like the best lettuce I've ever eaten.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, earlier you kind of mentioned some like different pastries and breads that are kind of like a local delicacy. Where would we go for something like that?
So I should preface this by saying that having a pastry and a coffee is a huge part of Portuguese culture. There are little coffee shops with their own specialty pastries in them all over town. You can hardly miss them. But a famous local Portuguese pastry is called pastel de nata, and it's a little like sort of custard tart, and you'll find them all over Portugal. But I would definitely recommend stop and get one while you're here. There's a couple of sort of well-known spots in town. My favorite is called Marias, or Pauzinho de Marias, and it's just spelled like Maria's. When there's an S at the end of a word here in Portugal, we say it like a sh, so it can be a little confusing, but Marias is definitely one of my favorites. And on the north side of town, they have a location that has tables outside with a nice view of the sea. So definitely don't miss that. They also have incredible bread. And then there's another kind of local chain called Pão da Vila, which is Pau is Portuguese for bread. It's spelled P-A-O. So anywhere that you see Pau, that means it's a bakery. And it's a pastry shop that's super popular. You can find them. There's like probably five of them here in Ericeira and the surrounding area. So definitely really good for like local Portuguese style pastries. And then if you wanted more of a contemporary style, like coffee and breakfast, there's a spot called Terço de Mayo. So don't miss the salted chocolate chip cookies there. They're amazing.
Oh, you had me at cookies, that's for sure. That sounds amazing. Well, Rachel, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all these amazing tips. But now it's time for the final countdown. If somebody only had time for one meal in Ericeira, where should they go and what should they eat?
If I only had time for one meal, I would go to O Lacrau and have grilled fish with boiled potatoes and a wonderful bottle of vinho verde. And if you wanted to have something sweet, get whatever their like specialty dessert of the day is.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Now, like you said, you kind of settled on Ericeira, you know, when you and your husband were looking at different places to stay in Portugal and everything like that. And so over the time that you've been there, I'm sure you've had some really amazing memories. So what's one of the most memorable situations you've been in there?
You're totally right. We've had some funny and also some frustrating situations since we got here. But one of my favorite experiences is that there are local scouts. They're kind of like, you know, they have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in America, and here it seems to be mixed and it's just a scout. And they're here in Ericeira a lot on the weekends. There must be some local activity. And it turns out that what it is it's some sort of kind of scavenger hunt, and kids of all different ages are participating in it. And there was a day over the summer where I was walking back from another amazing cafe called Balagan that's at Praia do Sul on the south side of town. Amazing iced latte if you're looking for less of a Portuguese style coffee and more of a kind of American style coffee. But anyway, I digress. And I was walking back, having sat in the sun and enjoyed my coffee, and this little boy who was probably 5 or 6 years old came over to me in his scout uniform. And I know this is a podcast, so you can't see me, but I am pale as a sheet and I have like reddish blonde curly hair. I very much do not look Portuguese, and came up to me and said something to me in Portuguese. And I was thinking to myself, and I've been studying my Portuguese all summer. And I said to him, if you can say that slowly for me in Portuguese, I can help you. But because I couldn't understand what he was saying. And so then he said to me in like the slowest, most enunciated Portuguese, where is Santa Marta Park? And I could see that his troop leader was just laughing. Like this whole thing was so funny to her, that of all the people he singled out a foreigner to try to ask for directions. And it was just hilarious. And I was actually able to respond in Portuguese and he understood me, and I was really proud of myself. And it was just really nice to feel like, you know, I am an immigrant, I am a foreigner, and I am, you know, an outsider in this community, and to be able to be in a situation where somebody singled me out and I could actually show them, hey, I am trying to learn your language, I am trying to be a good steward of the space. It was really exciting. And also it was just very funny. And the scout leader was trying so hard to keep a straight face during the experience. And, you know, 5-year-olds, they're so cute. It's such a sweet age. And, you know, he was missing some teeth. It was really cute.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I mean, I'm a dad and I have young kids, and I could just imagine my kids being in that situation. And That's so heartwarming. Well, speaking of good times and happy memories, where's the happiest happy hour in Ericeira?
So actually, that restaurant that I mentioned, Mar de Latash, which is a little bit fancier, has outside tables. And it's on, so one thing I didn't mention is that all of Ericeira is on the top of a cliff. And right in the middle of town, there's like kind of the local like town beach, which also happens to be the fisherman's port. And it's called Pescadores, which means fisherman. So at the top of the cliff at Pescadores is this restaurant, Mar de Latash, along with many others. But at sunset, you have an amazing view. You're pretty much looking due west. So bring your sunglasses. And they have really, really high quality wines. And because it's Portugal, the prices are really affordable. So even if you just order the local house white wine, it's going to be €5, get some little snacks, sit at the table. Or if there's no tables, there's a big wall that kind of protects you from walking off the edge of the cliff, obviously. And so they've built these special like trays that sit on top of the wall. So even if you can't get a spot in one of the chairs, they'll bring you out a little tray with your drinks and your snacks. So I would say Mar de Latash is my favorite place. And it's always popping. And it's locals, it's expats, it's tourists. It's a really great spot to go for happy hour in the summertime, in my opinion.
That's pretty amazing. It's like a great melting pot of, like you said, locals and expats and everybody else. So that's awesome. Now, one of the things I always do whenever I travel is check out the local pizza. So what's the best place for pepperoni pizza in Ericeira?
Yeah. So if you're sick of grilled fish and you just want to get yourself a pizza, there's actually a bunch of good pizza spots, but my personal favorite is called Secret Oven. And they actually make sourdough pizza, which I was not familiar with, but I love it. I think it's absolutely phenomenal pizza. It's really good, really fresh ingredients. You can get yourself a beer or a glass of wine. It's a really cool, low-key vibe in there. And the food is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, awesome. I'm definitely, my mouth is a little watering right now. It's almost time for lunch, so I'm ready for that. Now, you and I met at FinCon this last year, and obviously, you know, traveling from Portugal all the way to the US and visiting family and friends and all the other ventures that you do, I'm sure over that time you've amassed some great travel tips. So what's one of your best?
So my favorite travel tip, especially if you haven't traveled a lot, is I have two different sets of credit cards and debit cards, and they're attached to two sets of accounts. So I have the credit cards and debit cards that I actually intend to use that I keep in my wallet with me at all times. And then I have a second set that I lock in my hotel safe or put somewhere safe so that if I lose my wallet or my wallet gets stolen, I'm not like up a creek without a paddle. I can't tell you how many times I've been traveling and someone's wallet has gotten stolen or they've dropped it or they've lost it. And then it really takes your vacation and makes it go from being a really fun, happy experience to all of a sudden, like, I got to cancel my credit cards. I got to find a way to get cash. I have to rely on the help of friendly strangers. Or if you're there with a friend or a spouse, it puts a lot of pressure on them. So my travel tip, especially if you're traveling solo, is don't leave home without two different checking accounts with two different debit cards and at least two different credit cards linked to two different accounts so that no matter what happens, you're always safe and you can always take care of yourself.
Absolutely. And kind of like building on that, like you said, you know, if you're worried about getting them lost or stolen, is photocopy your cards on the front and back and maybe upload it to Google Docs or something like that. That way you have access to it. That way you can easily call the bank and know what the phone number is to call them and also know what the credit card number that you need to cancel in case that's stolen.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And actually, I always keep copies of my passport as well, so that if your passport gets lost or stolen, you'll have a photocopy to take with you to the embassy. At least you'll have some proof of ID in the meantime.
Absolutely. Well, again, Rachel, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all these amazing tips. And it was great meeting you in person at FinCon. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a financial coach. So I typically help six-figure earners who are finding out that they are living paycheck to paycheck despite having a great income, and probably they can't afford to travel nearly as much as they want to. So what I do is I help people figure out where all their money leaks are so that they can start to use their money intentionally and in alignment with their goals. So whether your goal is to work towards financial independence like I did, or you just want to be able to have more money to travel and buy better stuff for your kids, whatever your goal is, I'm there to help you figure out how to make your money work for you to achieve those goals.
Oh, that's fantastic. If somebody has questions about your business or about Ericeira or anywhere in Portugal that you know about, what's the best way to reach you on social media?
Yeah, so I am very active on Instagram specifically. So my Instagram handle is @Rachel_talks_money. So please send me a DM. I would love to hear that you heard me on Lee's podcast. And I would also be happy to talk to you about Portugal or whatever your financial questions might be. And of course, happy to talk to you about what it looks like to work together. Also, if you're interested, I have a free money tracker that I'd be happy to share with anyone in your audience that is designed to help you kind of get a sense of where your money is really going. Because as humans, we're super optimistic and we feel like we're doing great with our money, but the reality might paint a different picture. So I'm happy to share that with all of you. And it gives you a sense of what it looks like to kind of work with a financial coach and work with me. Because what I've been able to do is help over 100 people ditch the paycheck to paycheck cycle. In fact, today I just talked to a client whose net worth has gone up $40,000 since she started working with me back in November. So you can make huge changes when you take the time to really give your money the time it deserves. So if you're interested in that, check out the freebie and definitely don't hesitate to follow me on social media to kind of get a sense of who I am and what I do.
Well, first off, that's fantastic results in such a short period of time. And then also, we'll definitely include links to those in the show notes. And Rachel, it's been great talking to you, and we look forward to seeing you when we travel there.
Thanks so much. It was nice to be here, Lee.
What an awesome conversation with Rachel. I don't know how to surf, but I love to just chill out on the beach and watch them work their magic on the waves. You can find all the links we talked about today and our one-page guide to Rachel's tips at wetravelthere.com/Edisetta. We want to say thank you to WardWallet for being today's affiliate partner. It's my favorite way to track airline miles, hotel points, and other loyalty programs. Go to wetravelthere.com/WardWallet to start your free account today. Join us next time as we head to Valle de Guadalupe, Mexico, to speak to my new friend Stephanie Anton of almostfreefamilytravel.com. In this episode, Stephanie and I talk about attending the annual Grape Harvick Fiestas, riding on the Ruta del Vino bike ride, and exploring La Bufadora. Hope you join us when we travel there. I love hearing your feedback about the show. Send me a tweet at WeTravelThere or email me at wetravelthere.com/contact to share your thoughts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and tell them what you like most. Make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way you won't miss any of our upcoming destinations.